Father, we thank you, God, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, that as we draw near to you, we can have an absolute confidence, Lord. We can have an absolute conviction, God, that you have promised that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us, God. We thank you, Lord, that as we enter your presence, God, as we worship you together, Lord, that we can also come and just look at your word together, Father. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning to breathe life onto every word. We ask, Lord, that you'd, beyond just facts, beyond just someone's opinion, Lord, that you would impart life to us, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, Lord, and we open our hearts and we open to receive what you have for us this morning by your Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, God, that we can consecrate this time to hear from you. We can consecrate this time, Lord, and we ask that you would shape us, Lord, and make us more like Christ right here, right now, God. Let your name be glorified in our midst, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, sorry, this thing has gone a bit funny on me. There we go. Okay. Now I realize I'm in front of the screen, eh? Can you guys not see? Should I try and move back? A little bit. Okay, Dong has put me on a short leash. I think he's afraid I'm going to start running around. Okay. Sorry, Dong. Great. It's a blessing to be here. If you're here for the first time, welcome. It's great to have you guys joining us. This morning, I'm going to start with the bad news, and I'm going to get to the good news. Okay? So hang in there. I don't know about you, but these days when I listen to the radio or when I'm looking at news or newspapers, it gets depressing sometimes. It's some heavy stuff in there, and it's as if there's a lot of evil out there. I don't know if you've experienced that. It's maybe part of it is the fact that information is so easily and so readily available. Maybe a lot of the stuff that we just didn't hear about in previous years, now we hear about. So even the bad stuff happening at the other end of the world, we get to hear about that now as well. So maybe part of it is that. But there's a lot of hectic things happening out there, a lot of evil around us, a lot of darkness around us. And sometimes as Christians, it shouldn't, but it can be intimidating. Let me just put this timer on here that I don't go past 2 o'clock. Okay. Some nervous laughs there from the side. So we have this challenge. We are faced with a lot of darkness around us. We are faced with a lot of challenges in society. When we look at things happening, it's clear that there's evil out there. There's a darkness around us. And Scripture also actually mentions that. Scripture warns us of this. And we're going to just have a look at a few of those warnings and a few of those almost kind of things kind of giving us a heads up with what's coming. Let's quickly look at two of those in Matthew 24. Jesus speaking. He says, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." Have you any wars and rumors of wars lately? Yes, many. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Okay, that's the bad news part. "Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." That's not great picture right there. Okay, I'm gonna get to the good news. Hang in there. Okay, but we see this warning of the end times, and if one looks at the even just natural disasters over the last 100 years or so have increased dramatically. And rumors of wars, all these things we see here, we can almost tick them off and say, okay, yes, we can see this. Yes, it's happening. These are interesting times. Okay, let's go forward. Isaiah 60. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Okay, I'll get to the rest of the scripture a bit later. Deep darkness, and that's kind of what we're seeing at the moment. We see a lot of darkness, guys. We see a lot of heavy things happening. We see when we look at young people, we look at children, what's happening in classrooms, what's happening in schools, what's happening in homes. There is indeed darkness. Okay, now in Mark chapter 15, this is the moment of greatest darkness, I believe, that the earth has ever seen. This is at the cross. Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Okay, this is the moment that Christ dies. And if we think of all time, this is probably the moment of greatest darkness. Yes, we're seeing a lot now, but I'm saying that because in this moment was that moment of separation between Christ and his Father. That moment where he actually says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there's for the first time in eternity, and for the only time in eternity, there's a moment of separation between God and between the Father God and his Son, Jesus. And he cries out and he dies. And so we're faced with this darkness. And then right here, take just a moment to think of what's been happening here and leading up to this, okay? Christ has been taken captive. He was been interrogated. He's been accused of all kinds of things. He's been tortured, ridiculed. He's gone through the most hectic things you can imagine. If you want to have a very graphic reminder, watch the movie The Passion of the Christ. Let me not get sidetracked. But so he's gone through all that crazy things, and right here is the greatest moment of darkness where he experiences that separation from the Father. And I believe that's probably the worst thing about hell, is that the fact that God is there's his goodness and his love is not really there. Just think for a moment, okay? So all the powers of hell were focused right there, and they had only one plan, is to stop Christ from doing what he wanted to do. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to cast him down. They wanted to get him dead and buried. Every demon in the universe, the devil himself, every power of darkness, this was their plan, right? This is what they wanted to do. And I can tell you this thing, right here at that moment of darkness, they must have thought, this is it, we got it, we killed him, okay? And it's important to understand that I believe that the whole of the devil and all his minions, all the power of hell was focused, all the power of darkness was focused and was in agreement and was together against Christ right here. And they gave it their best shot, right? Everything they got. And they couldn't do it. So this is where the good news comes in, right? So this moment of greatest darkness is kind of just before the moment of greatest victory and the moment of greatest light almost. Because Christ dies, he descends into hell, squashes the devil, overcomes all the power of hell, takes back the keys, Amen. He wins the victory for us. He's gone through all that suffering and pain. He's faced every power of hell. He's faced. He's gone against everything that the devil had in his arsenal. Okay, he's pulled out all the big guns. He's done whatever he could. He did his worst, and he couldn't stop Christ from taking the keys back. He couldn't stop him from taking, you know, the winning the victory for us, and he couldn't stop him from rising from the dead. So this great darkness is right, this moment of greatest darkness is right before the moment of greatest victory that the universe had ever seen before at that stage in time. And Christ rises from the dead, right? On the third day, he rose. When some believers came to the grave, they were looking for him. They were, you know, wanting to do something with the grave clothes or something, and the ladies came there, and there was an angel sitting there. He said, listen, I don't know if this is good news or bad news for you, but Christ, you're looking for Jesus. He's not here. Don't look for Christ among the dead. Okay, he's risen. And, you know, it goes from there. He spends about 40 days on the earth, and then he ascends. But right there, we see picture of how things work in the kingdom. This is a very powerful picture, because the devil gave it everything he had, guys. He sent all his demons. Every negative thing, every demonic thing, every curse was against Christ. He took those curses upon himself, right? Now, I've been to India a couple of times, and I love India, guys. It's such a beautiful place. The people are amazing. And the food is brilliant, okay? The first time, I didn't think so. But by the third time, I was hooked, okay? Now, I love it. Ask my wife. And I love the place, right? But guys, it's spiritually heavy there, okay? It feels like you're playing on the devil's doorstep in a certain way, because there's a lot of demonic activity. And I remember us going to Varanasi, which is like the almost like a Mecca for Hindus. It's considered to be a holy city, and it's been like that for thousands of years. So for thousands of years, people have come there and made sacrifices. They have come there and prayed and have kind of worshipped idols there. There are shrines all over the place, and the Ganges River flows through there, which is supposed to be is the holy river. Okay, it's not very holy because they throw all the holy stuff in there. So when the holy cows die, they go in there. So it's not great. Please don't drink it. The water there, if you go there. And the gurus, if the gurus die, the holy men, or the kind of holy guys, they also go in there. It's not cool. Okay. Anyway, so we're there, and you're kind of in the face of this darkness. Okay. And I kid you not, it's heavy. It's really almost like, some of you don't believe me now, but it's like some very big person is sitting on your chest here, and you can't breathe. And unless you're praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your spirit the whole time, it feels like this thing is going to get you down. Really, physically, it feels like that. The one time we were driving around this was in Bangalore, we were driving around the city and praying around the gates of the city, and literally everywhere, a bus, little mini bus, and everybody fell asleep. And there was another team with us, and everybody was just out, you know. And then one of our leaders got a word and said, guys, this is demonic, okay? Pray in the Spirit. Because I was also like, woo, I was like very tired, you know. And then suddenly we all prayed in the Spirit, and we were awake, and we could pray. But anyway, so there's continually this resistance. And as we were in Varanasi, this 3,000 years worth of curses, right? And demonic activity, and like people calling on whatever demons, and we were, and it's like you're like thinking, how can these people be saved? You know, how can this be changed? How can this situation be turned around? And I remember us coming, going across the river very carefully, and on the other side, we found a place and we worshipped, and we were just worshiping God and praying over the city. And I remember the Holy Spirit just dropping something in my heart and said, the blood of Christ is sufficient. 3,000 years worth of idol worship, 3,000 years worth of curses and everything that the devil has got to offer. But the blood of Jesus is sufficient. That's it. And that's what we prayed over the city. And this is the amazing thing, guys. When at the cross, guys, the devil gave everything. Jesus took all those curses upon himself, right? All those 3,000 years worth of curses around Varanasi, but not only those, all of them he took upon himself. Scripture says he became a curse for us. And the devil did his worst that day, and he couldn't stop him, right? Jesus rose from the dead. He overcame death and sin. So here we are, and we see that all the power of heaven is with Christ. And we see that God's plan of redemption that starts from when time began culminates at the cross. All right, where the enemy threw everything that he had at it, but they couldn't stop this culmination of the glorious plan of Christ, you know, of God in Christ having this plan of redemption for humankind. And this culminates at the cross. And Jesus dies and he rises from the dead and he overcomes death and he overcomes all those powers of darkness and he ascends into heaven. So we see this greatest moment of greatest victory, okay? And what we see here is the glory of God manifesting itself on the earth, right? We see the curtain at that moment, the curtain in the temple dividing the holiest place from the rest of the temple being torn in two. Jesus, God saying, listen, this is finished now. You can have access to me through Christ. And we see the glory of God revealed in the glorified body of Christ, okay? And you see the glory of God revealed as he rises from the dead, as he ascends into heaven. We see the glory of God on the church, on the first church in Acts. We see glorious things, okay? And I want to look at some scriptures around that and have a look at what that means. Because we talk about the glory of God, but it's a difficult thing to fathom, okay? So I'm just going to stand still there for a little bit of a moment. So just hang with me for a moment. Just stick with me. Let's look at just before we get to the glory, but let's look at some scriptures here. Colossians 2:14. This is at the cross. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, Jesus has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Okay. Public spectacle. Okay. He didn't just win. Okay. It wasn't just it wasn't a close battle. He made a spectacle of them. He disarmed the powers and principalities. He wiped the floor with him. Okay, have you ever seen a boxing match like within the first 30 seconds, the guy's just on the floor, knockout? It wasn't even 30 seconds. Okay, let's continue. Isaiah 60. Now, let's read the rest of the scripture. I was saying, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, as we saw, deep darkness of the people, but the Lord will arise over you. And his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So we see the darkness, but this is the word of the Lord, guys. The glory of the Lord is arising upon us and is arising upon the church. There's deep darkness, but his glory will be seen upon us, upon the church, upon believers. And people will be drawn to him through it, okay? And let's quickly look at Habakkuk 2, verse 13, 14. Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, the nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And guys, let me just remind ourselves, when Christ says something, when the scripture says something, it's not a, we'll see if it happens. This, because Christ has proclaimed this, because this is the word of God, it's going to happen. Isn't that exciting? That the glory, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth. It, there will be no place where you will not be known. It will cover the earth. Okay, now the glory of God. I just took a very quick thing from creation to just demonstrate that. Okay, we sometimes look at stuff that man gets up to and we think that's amazing. You know, we use the same words. It's difficult to describe God because we say that burger I had was amazing, and then we say God is amazing. You know, it's just doesn't feel right. Okay. The thing that really that gets me every time is when people look at photographs from space. It's amazing what they can do these days. Have you seen the photographs that come from the Hubble telescope? I mean, look, you gotta give them their due. That's an amazing thing. Okay, that you did. Did you know that the first time they sent it up, there was a small calculation error, which meant it was out of focus, which is that's a bit of a anticlimax if you spend gazillion dollars to get it up there and then the photo comes back and you're like, don't worry, they fixed it, which is also amazing. They send a couple of guys up there to put this another to correct it, okay, which is also quite a feat. They did it up there, but now we get these pictures from space and we get them in the media and people say, this is the thing that took this picture, this is the telescope that this is how they did it, and they say, isn't man amazing? And they take photos of God's creation. And they're like amazed by the thing that takes the photograph. Isn't that just boggles my mind? Okay, let's look at this one. Can we kill some of the lights, Bessie, just behind you? Just want to make it a bit more visible. Okay, don't worry. It's going to be limited. Okay, it's not too bad. Okay, that's one of them. That's pretty cool. Sun rising. Let's look at this one. This is I don't know if the colors will come through well. This is a spiral galaxy. It's got a number and a name, which I don't know. It's huge. Millions of light years across. And every one of those, most of the spots, is a solar system. It's a bit scary, huh? It's beautiful. And then people go, how amazing are the guys that took the photograph? Okay, so the glory of God is revealed in stuff like this. Okay, the glory of God is beyond what we can fathom. It hurts the mind. When you look at the figures, when it talks about light years, it's the distance light travels in a year, which is like 330,000 kilometers. What is it? It's just ridiculous. The amount of zeros you have to put in there. And it's so your mind really starts to hurt when you kind of think of the expanse of the universe. And that's only the observable universe, right? The guys have started to use that word now, the observable universe, because they realize it's quite a lot out there that we can't see yet, okay? But this is glorious, guys. This is glorious. It's not the fact that we can see it or we can take a photo of it. That's amazing. But look how great our God is. And this is what Scripture says, the glory of God is going to arise. It's going to be beyond anything man has ever seen. It's beyond this earth. Are you with me? It's not man-made. It's not a thing that is contained to something that we can describe. It's huge. It's the glory of God. Okay, so that starts at the cross, and it goes from there. Now, what I want to stand still at today is this promise. And this reality is that all of hell, all the devil and all his demons, everything that they had was against Christ, and they couldn't stop him at the cross. Christ, I've got great news. They couldn't stop him then, and they can't stop him now. Okay? And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same, all the power of heaven, all the hosts of angels, and the power that raised him from the dead is with us and for us. Amen. So when we see the darkness and when we see the stuff happening out there, know this, guys. Yes, there is deep darkness, but the glory of the Lord is arising over us. The glory of the Lord is coming over us. Let's have a look at scripture here. But there's a decision that we have to make. There's a choice we have to make. And this scripture I'm going to read now is a place where the Lord has taken the Israelites out of the Egypt. They've gone through the desert. They've gone through hectic times, and they've gone across the Jordan to the promised land, and they're about to take on the first city, Jericho. And now this is a nation of slaves, right? This is not a nation of warriors. Okay, they're going to take on the city. They got some weapons and they made a plan. And this city is a great fortified city. Okay, it's got these huge walls. It's magnificently, crazily fortified. It's about as impossible to take for an enemy as it is almost impossible to imagine the United Kingdom being saved. It's almost that kind of impossible. Are you with me? That thing when you think, scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you see that happening in this nation at the moment? I don't know about you, it's difficult for me sometimes. So this is the same kind of challenge they were facing, right? It's impossible. There's this city. How do we take it? We're not warriors. We're not enough people even, we've got. And so this is what they're facing. And let's see what happens with Joshua here in chapter 5, Joshua 5, 14. And came actually from 13. And came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And this is Jesus, and pre-incarnate Christ appearing to him. And so he said, "No." Let's pause there. It's not about whether I'm for you or against you. Okay, he says, "No. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua clicks, and he fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. And he said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And we see here a very powerful thing. We see Christ in his glory, pre-incarnate Christ, in front of just before they have this impossible battle. And he says, "Listen, you need to make a shift in your heart. This is not about whether I'm with you or I'm for you." Yes, but are there enough promises of that in Scripture, guys? Jesus is for us. His goodness and mercy follow us. I mean, he goes before us. He comes behind us. As we follow him, as we seek his kingdom, everything that is for us, okay? We know that. But Christ's saying there's a shift that needs to happen in our hearts. He's saying, the question is, are you with me? I'm the commander. The question is, are you with me? Are you gonna follow my command? Are you gonna join me in what I'm doing? The question is not so much that whether I'm gonna bless you or whether I'm for you. Those things are gonna happen. The question today is, are you gonna join me in my quest? Are you gonna follow the commander? And obviously we know they take the city in a supernatural way, and they win the victory, and they take the promised land from there. And as I was just thinking around this, a friend of mine last week shared something a week before, and he was just saying, he was sitting on the train. It's amazing, this commute, sometimes you can get the amazing revelations on the train. But he was sitting on the train on the way to work, and something dropped in his spirit, and he felt God saying to him, because he was wrestling through some decisions he has to make, and he felt the Lord saying to him, the scripture about... Let me just read it. I think I have it here. Yeah. 6:23, Matthew 6:32. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And he said he was kind of thinking through this, and as if the Holy Spirit was saying to him, you are spending all your energy and your faith with the other things. You are extending your faith for stuff. Yes, it's great. You know, you're walking in faith. You're trusting for things. You are praying for your children. You're praying for direction about where to go as a family, which is amazing. But you're expending all your energy on the other things. And the Lord said, I want you to take your focus and just make a shift and focus it on the kingdom and on my righteousness. And he said he'd read the scripture a million times, but for the first time he really got that, clicked that he needs to focus his faith and he needs to focus his energy and he needs to focus his, you know, make sure his focus is with the kingdom. And the promise of God is that he will add all those other things. And I think the challenge here is we limit the other things, but we say, okay, maybe the Lord will bless me and stuff, I'll have food to eat. But God says, everything that you're seeking after, everything that you need, I will add. You don't have to worry about that stuff, but what you need to focus on is the kingdom and my righteousness. And this is the similar thing that the commander of the army is telling Joshua there. So, yes, that's great. I know what you mean, but that's not the question now. The question is, the point is, I'm coming now. I'm the commander. Are you with me or not? Are you seeking the kingdom now? Are you running after your own thing? And such a powerful thing that he clicked there. And there's a shift that needs to happen in our hearts, guys. Yes, we know God wants us to be blessed. Amen. And I'm more convinced than anything that the goodness and mercy of God, like David writes, follows us. It's like a thing that won't let you go. Have you had that? A pest. It's not like that. It's a blessing. But it's you can't escape it. One of the things that happened in India, the first time I was there, and this can happen anywhere in the world, I suppose, when you're a tourist. But there, I suppose, I was clearly a tourist, okay, because I'd look a bit different than the rest of the people. But so what happens is these guys come and they want to sell you stuff, okay? Great guys, friendly guys, and they've got little things that they made. And the biggest, let me give you a tip, okay? If you're not interested, don't be polite. Don't just pretend to be interested and just to, because that'll be the end. That guy will be with you the rest of the day. I'm not kidding. Let me just say this is nice and everything, but you know, I don't have money. I'm just going to be nice to this guy. So I'm sorry. This is very cool, but I'm not going to buy it. Like literally from shop to shop where we went, there was our rest day. This guy accompanied us because he was going to make the sale. But the goodness of God is like that, okay? You can't get rid of it. The mercy of God, it follows you. You cannot get rid of it. You cannot escape it, okay? It's going to be there. When you wake up in the morning, it's going to be there. When you go to bed at night, the blessing and the mercy and the goodness of God is going to be there, okay? Guys, that's the promise. So let's make the shift. Let's not stress about that stuff. Let's take our focus and say, Lord, I want to seek your kingdom. I want to see your glory arising over my life. I want to see your glory arising over this nation. I want to see that glory, that victory that was at the cross. I want to see that enforced in my life and through my life. I want to be a part of seeing this victory that you have won at the cross over this great darkness. I want to be a part of that victory, of that claiming that victory in this nation. In my family, in my street, in my place of work, where I'm studying, whatever I'm doing, I want to see the glory of God arising there. All right? It's just a small shift, but it's a big shift. Small step for man, giant leap, because it will make all the difference, guys. He says, and guys, you know, Pastor Fred started Shofar, and Pastor Fred and Lucille, some of you haven't met them, please join us at the camp. I'm hoping you'll have an opportunity there to meet them. But, you know, Pastor Fred is a man of faith. Okay, guys, I can tell you stories that will make your toes curl and your ears, you know, hair stand on end. Let me just quickly tell you one. Okay, you know, we have a Liberty Seminar where we deal with deliverance and we take on demons. Okay, I'm sorry, guys, I don't want to offend anybody, but they are demons. Okay, but please, if you want to know about them, let's look at Scripture. So we trust God for deliverance. We pray for that kind of thing, and people get delivered from oppression and from addiction and all kinds of things. Okay, this is what Christ died for. It's good news. Amen. So we were praying, and it was a difficult one. And actually, let me rephrase. I wasn't there. Okay. But the guys were praying, and it was tough. Okay. There was lots of resistance and lots of people struggling to get delivered, and there was a big fight in the spirit. And then Pastor Fred came, and he saw, okay, there's problems here. So he starts walking around the building. We were with the guys who were ministering, and the demons decide this is getting too hot in here, so they just leave. So he was just taking authority, and he started walking around, and the demons just, okay, don't want to be here anymore. Anyway, Pastor, why was I telling you this story? Oh my goodness. Okay. Any case, so I really can't remember. Yes, I know. I'm trying to figure it out. Whether. Okay. Okay, what I wanted to say is when they started Shofar, right? Now, Pastor Friend is still, they are normal people as well. I've had the amazing privilege of having them live in my house. And you know, when you live somebody in your house, you realize, wow, these people are just normal people, okay? Which is a great blessing. You realize that the grace that is upon their lives is not because they are superhumans. It's because they've chosen. They've made a decision. And they've made a choice to seek the kingdom first. So they've got many faults, guys, 100%. But what I want to say is, when I look at the fruit of in their children's lives, it's beautiful. They're two boys. Men of God, like you can't believe. And these guys, it's not like they had the most, they had incredible pressure upon them as they were parenting. Okay, they had probably, like, I don't know, I'm starting to understand what that's all about. Okay, but they had a lot of pressure when the children were small. There were lots of stuff going on, lots of things happening. But one thing, one day Fred mentioned something, and he said, he can see, and I can see it true to be true in his life, because they have chosen to seek first the kingdom. God is adding the other things. Their children are blessed. They're probably not the best parents on paper. Let me just say that. But because they have chosen, their children are prospering. Are you with me? So it goes beyond all that stuff that you think, if I'm a good parent, or I'm just going to give it everything here. Yes, that's great. But if once we have got the focus right, God says, I will add that stuff. The right place for you to live, the right partner for you, the right course, whatever, the right school for your children, everything they need, everything you need, I will add. You just need to keep your heart at the right place. Okay, I don't want to stand still here too long. It's a big shift for us, but it's very necessary. Okay. Matthew 16. This is just after Christ asked the guys. He says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, verse 17, he said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It's good news, guys. It's tough to be a Christian in this country, okay? But Jesus is building his church. And guess what? There's going to be a bit of, there's going to be some, you know, resistance, but the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not prevail. Do you see the picture of us as a church going to the gates of hell and taking people out? Have you ever thought of it that the default setting, the default destination is hell? This is not good news. But that's the default destination. We are born in sin. We are born with a sinful nature. So the default destination is bad news. But the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? They have not, in the past, they couldn't call them down. They couldn't stop him from winning the victory for us. And they will not do so now. So guys, the thing here is, I know this sounds like, this is just like, we don't have a choice, or everything is just going to happen. But the reality is, the kingdom of God will come. His will be done. It's unstoppable. The glory of God will arise. The knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth. It's going to happen, right? Glorious stuff, crazy stuff is going to happen. You and I have a choice to make. Are we just going to survive? Or are we going to be a part of it? All right? Are we going to just make it? Are we going to just make it into heaven? Hope for the best? Or are we going to say to the commander, I'm with you? I want to see that in my life. I want to see the glory of God arising. I want to go to the gates of hell, and I want to get those souls out there one by one. And I trust that you will add all the other stuff. Let's just quickly read from Hebrews here. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded, Hebrews 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the author and the finisher. He's going to finish what he started. Amen? He's not going to let it halfway. He doesn't stop halfway. He endured the cross. He went all the way, 100%. Philippians 1:3-6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I always in every prayer of mine, making requests for all of you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Guys, he doesn't do anything halfway, okay? Jesus finishes what he started. He did it at the cross, and he's going to do it in my life. I don't have to worry about that. And he will finish his work in this nation. Amen? Guys, there's lots of people that guess about when Jesus is going to come back and make lots of calculations. Right? You've heard that. 2012. End of the world. You were relieved, hey? So we get this every couple of years. But the thing that gets me the most is those guys. There's some of these guys that have said 80. I'm just going to pick dates now. 85. Okay, Jesus is coming. Written books about it. You know, 1985. Some of you weren't born yet. Okay, and then he didn't come. So guess what? They write another book. Can you believe it? People still buy the stuff? Any guess? Okay. I've got good news. I know when Jesus is coming back. Do you want to know? You're not believing me. Okay, here it is. Matthew 24:12-14. I read a bit of it before. Let's read the rest. And because of lawlessness, okay, that's what we said. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Right? That's when Jesus will come back. When the gospel has been preached in every nation. Isn't that exciting? The gospel is going to be preached in every nation. And those who endure until the end will be saved. Guys, this is a massive invitation. This is the commander of the armies of the Lord saying, are you going to join me? You blessed, you saved, you have a relationship with God, that's great. The goodness and mercy of God is going to follow you. But I'm inviting you to be a part of the glory of God arising. I'm inviting you to be a part of the greatest victory that the universe has ever seen. The victory of the cross is going to be even greater manifested in the final battle. Okay? Oops. Nope. Get back. So there's an invitation, guys. There's an invitation to be a part of the greatest quest that the world has ever seen. The greatest mandate, the greatest adventure. Because it is. Let me tell you, it's an adventure. Some days it's difficult. Some days it's hard. But the battle for souls, there's no greater one. To see the glory of God in somebody's life. To see the glory of God over a community. To see lives transformed. There's no greater thing. Amen. Whether it's happening in your workplace, I'm not saying go to Afghanistan and be a missionary. Okay, if you want to, please do that. I'm saying where God has put you now. What will it look like for the glory of God to arise there? Hey? What will it look like for your glory, the glory of God to cover your family, to cover the city, to cover this nation? It's going to happen. You and I can choose whether we want to be part of it. Right here amongst us here, we're a few now this morning. Jesus had 12 guys. It changed the world forever because they were anointed by the Spirit and they chose to seek His kingdom first. All of them died for the gospel except John. He would have if they could kill him, but they couldn't. Okay, so they tried. Guys, this morning, let's stand this morning. This is not a heavy, this is an invitation, guys. I know there was some bad news at the beginning, okay? I know, guys, we see the darkness around us, but this is the word of the Lord. This is not a maybe. This is not a maybe it's going to happen. The glory of God is arising over His church. All right? This is not a maybe that the end will come when the gospel has been preached. The gospel we preached in every nation, and then the end will come. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. That means we're going to take those souls one by one. Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist, he says, I will plunder hell to populate heaven. He gets it. The default is hell, but he's plundering hell. One by one, the souls are coming out. One by one. But the invitation is open. The commander of the armies is saying, it's not now. It's not about whether I'm for you or against you anymore. It's now, are you with me? I'm the commander. Are you coming with me? Are you joining me on this quest? Are you joining me on this adventure? Are you going to follow as we take this nation, as we see this city change, as we see the glory of God arising over our community? Guys, as we're interceding for this new season, God is showing us amazing things. I want to invite you to join us at intercession. One of the pictures that I keep getting is I see thousands of believers worshiping God together. I see thousands of believers coming in agreement from every different church background you can imagine, glorifying God. And I see His glory arise powerfully. God has got amazing stuff in store for this city and for this nation. We have a decision. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that you didn't go halfway, but You went all the way at the cross. We thank You, Jesus, that You didn't run out of the Garden of Gethsemane and run away, but you endured, even though you had to sweat blood because You knew what was coming. We thank You, Jesus, that You took all our shame. You took all our guilt. You took all our pain. You took our sin. You took every curse upon Yourself. Oh, Lord, we give You praise, God. We thank You that You won the victory for us. And this morning, Lord, we thank You that we can stand here with a confidence and with a excitement and with a truth in our heart that every power of the devil, every power of hell couldn't hold You down, couldn't stop You, Lord. You overcame death. You won the victory and You rose from the dead. And thank You, Jesus, that same power is now for us. That same power that rose Christ from the dead, the same power that won the victory at the cross, that same power that absolutely obliterated every power of the devil, everything it was, that gave it everything they had. But you won the victory. Thank you, Jesus, that same power is with us and for us right here, right now. Thank you, Lord, that when you say you will build your church, God, it's going to happen. When you say the gates of hell will not prevail, they will not prevail. They will try, but they will not prevail. Thank you, Lord, that when you say that the glory of the Lord is arising over us, Lord, it's going to happen. It is happening. Thank you, Jesus, that when you say that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth, it's just a matter of time. It's going to be. When you say that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not a maybe, God. Thank you. It is going to happen, Lord. I pray right now that you open our eyes to see it happening. Even before it is manifested. Even before it is reality. Thank you that we can pray it into being. Thank you that we can see it the day when the United Kingdom as one person will bow the knee before Christ. And acknowledge He is King and He is Lord. As every eye is closed this morning, if you're standing here, and maybe, I don't know everybody here this morning, maybe you've heard of Christ, maybe you've been to church, maybe you've never been, but when you hear, as you're standing here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Christ. You know of Him, maybe you've heard of Him, maybe you've been to church and did some Christian things, but where you're standing now, you know there's something amiss and you don't have a relationship with Him. You have not been born again. You have not chosen Christ this morning. But in your heart, you know you want to be a part of this. You want to be a part of what Christ is doing. You want to have that victory of the cross applicable to your life, applied to your life, the blood of Christ that washes you from all sin. It gives the fact that Christ came to die for your sin and for my sin so that we, you and I, can have a relationship with Him, that we can have a fullness of life. If that's you this morning and you know, this morning I want to make right with Him. This morning I want to give my life. This morning I want to choose to follow Christ. I want to lay down my life and I want to follow Him. I want to make Him King. While every eye is closed, if that's you this morning, oh, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you want to be a part of this, please raise your hand. We're going to pray together. Okay. Thank you, Father. Yes, Father, as we come as believers, Lord, as we come before you, we thank you, Jesus, that you stand before us as the commander this morning. And you say, no, it's not about whether I'm for you or against you. My blessing and my mercy and my goodness will follow you. Don't worry about that. But choose to this morning in your heart. Are you with me? I'm inviting this invitation to join this quest, to join this battle, to join the battle for souls, to join the greatest adventure the world has ever seen. It means seeking the kingdom first. It means seeking His righteousness. And I just feel to prophesy that we will see the glory of the Lord arising. We will see people healed in the workplaces, in schools. We'll see people delivered on the train, on the bus. We'll see people healed gloriously. People, families transformed, healed, relationships restored. Even in the most you know, places we would never think. Most unexpected places. In the place of the deepest darkness, we will see the light of the gospel. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I prophesy that we will see the power of God unto salvation in the most unexpected places, in the places of greatest darkness. In the places where you've never thought it possible, you're going to see the power of the gospel transform situations, transform lives, transform communities and nations. Thank you, Father. As every eye's closed this morning, if you want to respond to the commander calling today to be a part of this great quest, if you want to make a shift from worrying about the other things, worrying about those things that consume us every day, you want to make a shift this morning, say, Lord, I choose to seek your kingdom. I choose to be a part of the adventure. I'm with you. I want to sign up this morning, Lord. I want to see your glory arise. I want to come against the fear that has bound me up till now. Guys, sometimes we start with great faith. I've seen the same in my life. We come, and it's as if after we shared our faith with five people and there's been no response, we get depressed, or since obviously it's not working, so we stop. We get fearful. We get discouraged. But this morning, I just feel God wants to lift our hands. The power of the gospel is still the power of the gospel. The power of your testimony is still powerful. When scripture says we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, it's still the truth today. Don't stop doing it. Don't stop sharing it. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop reaching out. The glory of the Lord is arising. Don't pray for somebody for 5 minutes and then stop because they're not getting saved. Continue. Persevere. Those who persevere until the end will be saved. So as your eyes closed, if you want to choose that this morning, I just want you to raise your hand. We're just going to pray where you are, and we just want to commit ourselves to God as we close. Thank you, Father. Lord, you see every heart, Lord. You see every hand, God. We come before you humbly. And it's that holy moment where Joshua took off his shoes and because it was holy ground. Lord, we consecrate ourselves now in the name of Jesus. We recognize this as a holy moment. We open our hearts and we say, today, God, we say yes, Lord. We come humbly, we bow before you, Lord Jesus, as the commander of the armies of the Lord, the hosts of heaven. And we say, Lord, lead us into battle. We choose to go with you. We want to be a part of this adventure. We want to be a part of this great, great quest, Lord. We want to see the gates of hell give way to the glory of God. Give way as we take one soul at a time, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you lift up our eyes, that we will look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you right now for a release of faith in hearts right now. Thank you that you light a fire in every heart, God, a passion, Lord, an unquenchable fire, Lord, a passion for your name, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the love of God that compels us, as Paul writes. I cannot but. The love of Christ compels me. Thank you, Jesus, for the burning fire in us, the compassion that drove Christ to the cross and beyond, Lord, that we can walk with that same love and that same compassion. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can rely on your Holy Spirit, Lord. We can walk in partnership with you. And right now, Lord, we thank you for a release of a boldness to trust you for the impossible things, God. A boldness, Lord, to trust you for the miracles again. To when we speak our testimony and we share our faith, God, an expectation of those seeds that will be incorruptible in every life, God. That they will accomplish what you send them to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you that you build your church. And thank you that we can be a part of it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to respond, or you want to agree with me in prayer and you want to make that shift, please come to the front. But otherwise, we're going to have prayer for whatever needs you have. So if you have any other need, please join us in the front. Specifically this morning, if you feel there's something not right with your relationship with Christ, don't delay. He's coming soon. Amen. Don't delay. Please come pray with us or pray with somebody next to you. If you don't have that absolute conviction that you have a relationship with him, here's an opportunity this morning. Okay. God bless you guys. I'm trusting even this week for us to look differently at the world. As we go through it, look for the glory arising. Amen. Look for what God is doing. He is building right now. He's building his church. Be part of that in every situation, in your workplace, in your family. The gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. God bless you. Join us for some refreshments. Thanks for your patience this morning. I got a bit long-winded there, but don't worry. We made it. God bless you. Please come forward for prayer. Have a great week. Amen. Bless you.